The Circle by W. Somerset Maugham, produced by Val Gielgud, with Stephen Murray, Carlton Hobbs, and Griselda Harvey. The Circle has been chosen by Val Gielgud, for many years head of BBC Radio Drama, for a production to mark his 70th birthday. The Circle. The play's action takes place in the early 1920s at Aston Adie, the beautiful period home of Arnold Champion Cheney, MP. Imagine a stately drawing room with fine pictures on the walls and period furniture. It is a place rather than a house.
Elizabeth? Elizabeth? George, see if you can find Mrs. Cheney and ask her if she'd be good enough to come here.
Very good, sir.
Who is supposed to look after this room?
I don't know, sir.
Well, I wish when they dust, they'd take care to replace the things exactly as they were before.
Yes, sir.
All right, you can go. Elizabeth! Anna, do you know where Elizabeth is?
Oh, isn't she playing tennis, Arnold?
No. Something very tiresome has happened.
Oh?
I wonder where the deuce she is.
When do you expect Lord Porteous and Lady Kitty?
They're motoring down in time for luncheon.
Are you sure you want me to be here?
Oh, yes.
It's not too late yet, you know. I can have my things packed and catch a train for somewhere or other.
No, of course we want you. It'll make it so much easier if there are people here. It was exceedingly kind of you to come.
Oh, nonsense.
And I think it was a good thing to have Teddy Luton down.
He's so breezy, isn't he?
Yes, that's his great asset. I don't know that he's very intelligent, but you know, there are occasions when you want a bull in a china shop. Oh, my dear Elizabeth, I've been hunting for you everywhere. What have you been doing?
Nothing. I've been standing on my head.
My father's here.
Where?
At the cottage. He arrived last night.
Damn.
I wish you wouldn't say that, Elizabeth.
If you're not going to say damn when a thing's damnable, when are you going to say damn?
Well, I should have thought you could say, oh, bother, or something like that.
But that wouldn't express my sentiments. Besides, at that speech day when you were giving away the prizes, you said there were no synonyms in the English language.
I'm always willing to stand by anything I've said. There are no synonyms in the English language.
In that case, I shall be regretfully forced to continue to say damn whenever I feel like it.
I say, what about this tennis?
Come in, Teddy. Husband and wife are having a scene.
How splendid. What about?
The English language.
I wish you'd be serious, Elizabeth. The situation is none too pleasant.
I think Teddy and I had better make ourselves scarce, Arnold.
Nonsense. You're both in it. If there's going to be any unpleasantness, we want your moral support. That's why we asked you to come.
Is anything up?
Arnold's father arrived last night.
Did he, by Jove? I thought he was in Paris.
Yes, so did we all. He told me he'd be there for the next month.
Have you seen him?
No. He rang me up. It's a mercy he had a telephone put in the cottage. Would have been a pretty kettle of fish if he'd just walked in.
Did you tell him Lady Catherine was coming?
Of course not. I was flabbergasted to know he was here. And then I thought we'd better talk it over first.
Is he coming along here?
Yes. He suggested it. I couldn't think of any excuse to prevent him.
Couldn't you put the other people off?
Well, they're coming by car. They may be here any moment. It's too late to do that.
Besides, it'd be beastly.
I knew it was silly to have them here. Elizabeth insisted.
After all, she is your mother, Arnold.
That meant precious little to her when she went away. You can't imagine it means very much to me now.
It's 30 years ago. It seems so absurd to bear malice after all that time.
I do not bear malice. But the fact remains that she did me the most irreparable harm. I can find no excuse for her.
Have you ever tried
to? Oh, my dear Elizabeth, it's no good going over all that again. The facts are lamentably simple. She had a husband who adored her, a wonderful position, all the money she could want, and a child of 5. And she ran away with a married man.
Perhaps your mother couldn't help herself if she was in love.
And had no sense of honor, duty, or decency? Oh, yes, under those circumstances, you can explain a great deal.
That's not a very pretty way to speak of your mother.
Well, I can't think of her as my mother.
What you can't get over is that she didn't think of you. It gives me a little thrill when I think that she loved that man so much. She sacrificed her name, her position, and her child to him.
I wonder if you realize what it was to grow up under the shadow of that horrible scandal. Everywhere, at school and at Oxford and afterwards in London, I was always the son of Lady Kitty Cheney.
Yes, I know, Arnold. It was beastly for you.
Would have been bad enough if it had been an ordinary case. But the position of the people made it 10 times worse. My father was in the House then, and Porteous was Under Secretary for Foreign Affairs, and very much in the public eye.
My father always used to say he was the ablest man in the party. Everyone was expecting him to be Prime Minister.
You can imagine what a boon it was to the British public. They hadn't had such a treat for a generation. The most popular song of the day was about my mother. Did you ever hear it? Naughty Lady Kitty thought it such a pity.
Oh, Arnold, don't.
Then they never let people forget them. If they'd lived quietly in Florence and not made a fuss, the scandal would have died down. But those constant actions between Lord and Lady Porteous kept on reminding everyone.
What were they having actions about?
Well, of course, my father divorced his wife, but Lady Porteous refused to divorce Porteous. They were constantly wrangling in the law courts.
Oh, I think it was monstrous of Lady Porteous.
No, she knew he wanted to marry my mother, and she hated my mother. Can't blame her.
Oh, it must have been very difficult for them.
That's why they lived in Florence. Porteous has money, and they found people there who were willing to accept the situation.
This is the first time they've ever come to England.
My father will have to be told, Elizabeth.
Yes. Has he ever spoken to you about Lady Kitty, Elizabeth?
Never.
I don't think her name has passed his lips since she ran away from this house 30 years ago.
Oh, they lived here? Oh,
naturally. There was a house party, and one evening neither Porteous nor my mother came down to dinner. The rest of them waited. They couldn't make it out. My father sent up to my mother's room, and a note was found on the pincushion.
That's what they did in the Dark Ages.
I think he took a dislike to this house from that horrible night. He never lived here again, and when I married, he handed the place over to me. He just has a cottage now on the estate that he comes down to when he feels inclined.
It's been very nice for us.
I owe everything to my father. I don't think he'll ever forgive me for asking these people to come here.
I'm going to take all the blame on myself, Arnold.
The situation was embarrassing enough anyhow. I don't know how I ought to treat them.
Don't you think that it'll settle itself when you see them?
After all, they're my guests. I shall try and behave like a gentleman.
I wouldn't. We haven't got central heating.
Will she expect me to kiss her?
Surely.
Oh, always makes me uncomfortable when people are effusive.
I can't understand why we never saw her before.
I believe she tried to see me when I was little, but my father thought it better she shouldn't.
Yes, but when you were grown up.
She was always in Italy. I never went to Italy.
It seems to me so pathetic that if you saw one another in the street, you wouldn't recognize each other.
Well, is it my fault?
You've promised to be very gentle with her and very kind.
The mistake was asking Porteous to come too. Looks as though we condone the whole thing. And how am I to treat him? Am I to shake him by the hand and slap him on the back? He absolutely ruined my father's life.
I think it's very lucky that Anna and Teddy are here. I don't foresee a very successful party.
I'm going to do my best. I gave you my promise and I shall keep it. But I can't answer for my father.
Here is your father.
May I come in through the window? Or shall I have myself announced by a supercilious flunky?
Come in. We've been expecting you.
Impatiently, I hope, my dear child.
We thought you'd be in Paris for another month.
I always reserve to myself the privilege of changing my mind. It's the only one elderly gentlemen share with pretty women.
You know Anna?
Of course I do. How very nice to see you here. Are you staying long?
As long as I'm welcome. And this is Mr. Luton.
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
And you, are you going to stay long, Father?
To luncheon, if you'll have me.
Oh. That'll be jolly.
I didn't mean that. Of course you're going to stay for luncheon. I meant, how long are you going to stay down here?
A week.
I think we'd better chuck our tennis.
Yes. I want my father-in-law to tell me what they're wearing in Paris this week.
I'll go and put the rackets away.
Elizabeth, it's nearly 1 o'clock.
Oh, I didn't know it was so late.
Arnold, I wonder if I can persuade you to take a turn in the garden before luncheon.
Thank you, Anna. Yes, I'd love it. Father, I want you to look at this chair I've just got. I think it's rather good.
Charming.
Yeah, about 1750, I should say. Good design, isn't it? Hasn't been restored or anything.
Very pretty.
Yes. I think it was a good buy, don't you?
Oh, my dear boy, you know I'm entirely ignorant about these things.
It's exactly my period. Well, I shall see you at luncheon, then.
Who is that young man, Elizabeth?
Mr. Luton. Oh, he's the manager of a rubber estate in the FMS.
And what are the FMS when they're at home?
The Federated Malay States. He's just going back there.
And why have we been left alone in this very marked manner?
Have we? I didn't notice it.
I suppose it's difficult for the young to realize that one may be old without being a fool.
I never thought you that. Everyone knows you're very intelligent.
They certainly ought to by now. I've told them often enough. Are you a little nervous? Oh,
let me feel my pulse. Yeah, it's perfectly regular.
When I suggested staying to luncheon, Arnold looked exactly like a dose of castor oil.
I wish you'd sit down.
You have evidently something very disagreeable to say to me.
You won't be cross with me.
How old are you?
25.
I'm never cross with a woman under 30.
Then I've got 10 years.
Mathematics?
No, paint.
Well?
Lady Catherine's coming here.
Who's Lady Catherine?
Your... Arnold's mother.
Is she?
You mustn't blame Arnold. It's my fault. I insisted. He was against it. I nagged him till he gave way, and then I wrote and asked her to come.
I didn't know you knew her.
I don't. But I heard she was in London, and it seemed so heartless not to take the smallest notice of her.
When is she coming?
We're expecting her in time for luncheon.
As soon as there. I understand the embarrassment.
You see, we never expected you to be here. You said you'd be in Paris for another month.
Oh, my dear child, this is your house. There's no reason why you shouldn't ask whom you please to stay with you.
After all, whatever her faults, she's Arnold's mother. It seems so unnatural that they should never see one another. My heart ached for that poor, lonely woman.
Yeah, I never heard that she was lonely, and she certainly isn't poor.
And there's something else.
Yes?
I couldn't ask her by herself. It would have been so insulting. I asked Lord Porteous, too.
I see.
I dare say you'd rather not meet them.
I dare say they'd rather not meet me. I shall have a capital luncheon at my cottage.
No one's ever talked to me about Lady Kitty. Won't you tell me what she was like?
She was very like you, Elizabeth, only she had dark hair instead of red.
Poor dear. It must be quite white now.
I dare say. She was a pretty little thing.
But she was one of the great beauties of her day. They say she was lovely.
She had the most adorable little nose, like yours.
Do you like my nose?
And she was very dainty, with a beautiful little figure, very light on her feet. She was like a marquise in an old French comedy. Yes, she was lovely.
And I'm sure she's lovely still.
She's no chicken, you know.
You can't expect me to look on it as you and Arnold do. When you've loved as she's loved, you may grow old, but you grow old beautifully.
You're very romantic.
If everyone hadn't made such a mystery of it, I dare say I shouldn't feel as I do. Oh, I know she did a great wrong to you and a great wrong to Arnold. I'm willing to acknowledge that.
I'm sure it's very kind of you.
But she loved and she dared. Romance is such an elusive thing. You read of it in books, but you seldom see it face to face. I can't help it if it thrills me.
I'm painfully aware that the husband in these cases is not a romantic object.
She had the world at her feet. You were rich, she was a figure in society, and she gave up everything for love.
I'm beginning to suspect it wasn't only for her sake and for Arnold's that you asked her to come here.
I seem to know her already. I think her face is a little sad, for a love like that doesn't leave you gay. It leaves you grave. But I think her pale face is unlined. It's like a child.
My dear, how you let your imagination run away with you.
I imagine her slight and frail.
Frail, certainly.
With beautiful thin hands and white hair. Well, you see, I never knew my mother. She died when I was a baby. I want Arnold's mother to be a mother to me. I've got so much to say to her.
Are you happy with Arnold?
Why shouldn't I be?
I wonder what Hughie's like now.
Lord Porteous?
He wore his clothes better than any man in London. You know, he'd have been Prime Minister if he'd remained in politics.
What was he like then?
He was a nice-looking fellow. Fine horseman. I suppose there was something very fascinating about him. Yellow hair and blue eyes, you know. He had a very good figure. I liked him. I was his parliamentary secretary. He was Arnold's godfather.
I know.
I wonder if he ever regrets.
I wouldn't.
Well, I must be strolling back to my cottage.
You're not angry with me?
Oh, not a bit. Goodbye.
I saw the old blighter go.
Oh, come in, Teddy.
Everything all right?
Oh, quite, as far as he's concerned. He's going to keep out of the way.
Was it beastly?
No, he made it very easy for me. He's a nice old thing.
You were rather scared.
A little. I am still. I don't know why.
I guessed you were. I thought I'd come and give you a little moral support. Ah, it's grand here, isn't it?
It is rather nice.
It'll be jolly to think of it when I'm back in the FMS.
Aren't you homesick sometimes?
Oh, everyone is now and then, you know.
You could have got a job in England if you'd wanted to, couldn't you?
Oh, but I love it out there.
I imagine that frills are not much worn in the FMS. Must be a comfort.
It's not much good being pretentious, where everyone knows exactly who you are and what your income is.
What do you do with yourself all the time?
Oh, one works like blazes. You have to be a pretty hefty fellow to be a planter. And then there's grand bathing. You know, it's lovely with palm trees all along the beach. And there's shooting. And now and then we have a little dance to a gramophone.
I think you've got a young woman out there, Teddy.
I haven't.
But you'll have to marry and settle down one of these days, you know.
Well, I want to, but... Well, it's not a thing you can do lightly.
I don't know why there more than elsewhere.
Well, in England, if people don't get on, they go their own ways and jog along after a fashion. In a place like that, you're thrown a great deal on your own resources.
Of course.
Lots of girls come out because they think they're going to have a good time. But if they're empty-headed, then they're just faced with their own emptiness, and they're done.
It's not a very alluring prospect.
But if the woman's the right sort, she wouldn't exchange it for any life in the world.
What sort is the right sort?
A woman of courage and endurance and sincerity. Of course, it's hopeless unless she's in love with her husband. My house stands on the side of a hill, and the coconut trees wind down to the shore. Azaleas grow in my garden, and camellias, and all sorts of flowers. And in front of me is the winding coastline, and then the blue sea. Do you know that I'm awfully in love with you?
I wasn't quite sure. I wondered.
And you?
Yes.
I've never kissed you.
I don't want you to.
Elizabeth, they're coming.
Well, who?
Well, my dear, my mother, of course. The car's just coming up the drive.
Oh, would you like me to clear out?
No, for goodness sake, stay.
Oh, well, we'd better go and meet them, Arnold.
No, I think they'd much better be shown in. I feel simply sick with nervousness.
Your guests have arrived.
Yes, I know, Anna.
I've given orders that luncheon should be served at once.
Well, why? It's not 1:30 already, is it?
Well, I thought it would help when you don't know exactly what to say. You can always eat.
Lady Catherine Champion Cheney, Lord Porteous.
Elizabeth. Oh, what an adorable creature. Hughie, isn't she adorable?
How do you do?
Damnable roads you've got down here.
My boy, I should have known you anywhere.
That's not Arnold. Arnold's over there.
The image of his father. I should have known him anywhere. My boy. Tell me, Arnold, would you have known me again? Have I changed?
Well, I was only 5, you know.
I remember as if it were yesterday. I went up into your room. By the way, I always thought that nurse drank. Did you ever find out if she really did?
Oh, the devil, can you expect him to know that, Kitty?
You've never had a child, Hughie. How can you tell what they know and what they don't?
This is Arnold, Lord Porteous.
How do you do? And you, your father?
Yes.
Alive still?
Yes.
You must be getting on. Is he well?
Very.
Takes care of himself, I suppose. I'm not at all well. This damn climate doesn't agree with me.
This is Mrs. Shenstone, Lady Kitty.
Oh, how do you do?
And this is Mr. Luton. I hope you don't mind a very small party.
Oh, no, I shall enjoy it. I used to give enormous parties here. Political, you know. Oh, how nice you've made this room.
Oh, that's Arnold.
Do you like this chair? I've just bought it. It's exactly my period.
It's a fake.
What? I don't think it is for a minute.
Leg's not right.
Well, I don't know how you can say that. If there's anything right about it, it's the leg.
I'm sure they're right.
You know nothing whatever about it, Kitty.
Well, that's what you think. I think it's a beautiful chair. Applewhite?
No, Sheraton.
Oh, I know. The school for scandal.
Sheraton, my dear. Sheraton.
Yes, that's what I say. Do you act, Elizabeth?
Oh, I couldn't. I should be too nervous.
I'm never nervous. I'm a born actress. Of course, if I had my time over again, I'd go on the stage. Hughie, do you think Arnold takes after me or after his father? Because I think he's the very image of me. What is the matter, Hughie?
These new teeth of mine are so damned uncomfortable.
Men are extraordinary. They can't stand the smallest discomfort. Why, a woman's life is uncomfortable from the moment she gets up in the morning till the moment she goes to bed at night.
They don't seem to hold up properly.
Well, that's not the fault of your teeth. That's the fault of your gums.
Them rotten dentists, that's what's the matter.
I thought you was a very nice dentist. Told me my teeth would last till I was 50.
Luncheon is served, sir.
Would you like to see your rooms?
No, we'll see our rooms after luncheon.
Well, I must powder my nose, Hughie.
Hold right down here.
I never saw anyone so inconsiderate.
Keep us all waiting half an hour. I know you.
Oh, well, peace at any price, as Lord Beaconsfield said.
He said a lot of damn silly things, Kitty, but he never said that.
Oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, my lipstick.
Can't you find it?
Well, I had it in the car, Hughie. You remember that I had it in the car.
No, I don't remember anything about it.
Well, for heaven's sake, send someone to look for it.
I'll ring.
No, I'm absolutely lost without my lipstick. Lend me yours, darling, will you?
I'm afraid I haven't one.
Has anyone here lost a diminutive utensil containing, unless I'm mistaken, a favorite preparation for the toilet?
Oh, my lipstick!
I found it in the drive and ventured to bring it in.
Clive.
You didn't recognize me, Kitty. It's many years since we met.
My poor Clive, your hair's gone quite white.
I hope you had a pleasant journey down from London, Kitty.
You may kiss me, Clive.
You don't mind, Hughie? And how are you, my dear Hughie?
Damned romantic, if you want to know. Filthy climate you have in this country.
Well, aren't you going to shake hands with me?
You have no objection to shaking hands with you?
You've aged, my poor Hughie.
Someone was asking me how old you were the other day.
Were they surprised when you told them?
Surprised? They wondered you weren't dead.
Did you ring, sir?
No. Oh, yes, it doesn't matter now.
One moment. My dear Elizabeth, I've come to throw myself on your mercy. My servants are busy with their own affairs. There's not a thing for me to eat in my cottage.
Oh, but we shall be delighted if you'd lunch with us.
It either means that or my immediate death from starvation. You don't mind, Arnold?
My dear father.
Mr. Cheney will lunch here, George.
And for God's sake, let's go in and eat it.
Arnold be back, Elizabeth?
Soon, I think. He said after dinner.
Is he addressing a meeting?
No, it's only a conference with his agent and one or two constituents.
How anyone can be expected to play bridge when people are shouting at the top of their voices all round them, I, for one, cannot understand.
I'm so sorry.
I can see your hand, Lord Porteous.
We may help you.
I've told you over and over again, Hughie, to hold your cards up. It ruins one's game when one can't help seeing one's opponent's hand.
One isn't obliged to look.
Elizabeth, mm-hmm. What was Arnold's majority at the last election?
Oh, 700 and something. Hmm?
He'll have to fight for it if he wants to keep his seat next time.
Are we playing bridge or talking politics?
I never find that conversation interferes with my game.
You certainly play no worse when you talk than when you hold your tongue.
I think that's a very offensive thing to say, Hughie. Just because I don't play the same game as you think I can't play.
I'm glad you acknowledge it's not the same game as I play. Why, in God's name, do you call it bridge?
I agree with Kitty. I hate people who play bridge as though they were at a funeral and knew their feet were getting wet.
No, of course, you take Kitty's part.
That's the least he can do.
I have a naturally cheerful disposition.
You've never had anything to sour it.
I don't know what you mean by that, Hughie.
Must you trump my ace?
Oh, was that your ace, darling?
Yes, it was my ace.
Oh, well, it was the only trump I had. I shouldn't have made it anyway.
She needn't have told them that. Now she knows exactly what I've got.
She knew before.
How could she know?
She said she'd seen your hand.
Oh, I didn't. I said I could see it.
Well, I naturally suppose that if she could see it, she did.
Really, Kitty, you had the most extraordinary idea.
Not at all. If anyone's such a fool as to show me his hand, of course I'll look at it.
If you study the etiquette of bridge, you'll discover that onlookers are expected not to interfere with the game.
My dear Hughie, this is a matter of ethics, not of bridge.
Anyhow, I get the game and rubber.
I claim a revoke.
Who revoked?
You did.
Nonsense. Never revoked in my life.
I'll show you. Now, you threw a club on the third heart trick, and you had another heart.
I never had more than two hearts.
Oh, yes, you had. Look here. That's the card you played on the last trick but one.
There's no doubt about it, Hughie. You revoked.
I tell you, I did not revoke. I never revoke.
You did, Hughie. I wondered what on earth you were doing.
I don't know how anyone can be expected not to revoke when there's this confounded chatter going on all the time. Now I'm going to play patience.
Well, I'm going to take a book and lie down in the hammock till it's time to dress.
Would you like to come for a little stroll, Hughie?
Red Queen and... What for?
Exercise.
I hate exercise.
Seven goes on the eight, Hughie. Mm-hmm.
The seven goes on the eight.
I don't choose to put the seven on the eight.
That knave goes on the queen.
I'm not blind, thank you.
The three goes on the four.
Oh, these go over.
Am I playing this patience or are you playing it? Go away, both of you. You irritate me.
We're only trying to help you, Hughie.
I don't want to be helped. I want to do it by myself.
I think your manners are perfectly deplorable, Hughie.
It's simply maddening when you play patience and people won't leave you alone.
We won't say another word.
That three goes... I believe it's coming out. If I'd been such a fool as to put that seven up, I shouldn't have been able to bring these down.
The four goes on the five.
Damn you, why don't you leave me alone? It's intolerable.
It was coming out, my dear friend.
I know it was coming out. Confound you all.
A pity you are, Hughie.
Pity me damned. I told you over and over again, I will not be interfered with when I play patience.
Don't talk to me like that, Hughie.
I shall talk to you as I please.
Oh, you brute. You're bruised.
Oh, damn. Now she's gonna cry.
Upon my soul, they might be married, they fripped so much.
You promised to keep away. Why did you come back the moment they arrived?
Curiosity, my dear child. A surely pardonable curiosity.
And since then, you've been here all the time. You don't generally favor us with so much of your company when you're down at your cottage.
I've been excessively amused.
It struck me that whenever they start fripping, you took a malicious pleasure in goading them on.
I don't think there's much love lost between them now, do you?
I think if you don't mind,
oh, no,
I'll...
Don't go, Teddy.
No, please don't. I'm only staying a minute. We were talking about Lady Kitty just before she arrived. Do you remember the pale, frail lady in black satin and old lace?
Did you expect her to be like this, poor dear?
My dear child, I haven't the vaguest idea. You were asking me the other day what she was like when she ran away. I didn't tell you half. She was so gay and so natural. Who would have thought that animation would turn into such frivolity and that charming impulsiveness lead to such a ridiculous affectation?
It rather sets my nerves on edge to hear the way you talk of her.
It's the truth that sets your nerves on edge, not I.
You loved her once. Have you no feeling for her at all?
None. Why should I?
She's the mother of your son.
My dear child, you have a charming nature. A simple, frank, and artless as hers was. Don't let pure humbug obscure your common sense.
We have no right to judge. She's only been here 2 days. We know nothing about her.
My dear, her soul is as thickly rouged as her face. She hasn't an emotion that's sincere. She's tinsel. You think I'm a cruel, cynical old man. Why, when I think of what she was, if I didn't laugh at what she has become, I should cry.
How do you know she wouldn't be just the same now if she'd remained your wife? Do you think your influence would have had such a salutary effect on her?
I like you when you're bitter and rather insolent.
Do you like me enough to answer my question?
She was only 27 when she went away. She might have become anything. She might have become the woman you expected her to be. We are the creatures of our environment. She's a silly, worthless woman because she's led a silly, worthless life.
You're horrible today.
I don't say it's I who could have prevented her from becoming this ridiculous caricature of a pretty woman grown old. But life could. Here she would have had the friends fit to her station and a decent activity and worthy interests. There is no more lamentable pursuit than a life of pleasure.
At all events, she loved, and she loved greatly. I have only pity and affection for her.
And if she loved, what do you think she felt when she saw that she had ruined Huey? Look at him. He was tight last night after dinner and tight the night before.
I know.
And she took it as a matter of course. How long do you suppose he's been getting tight every night? Do you think he was like that 30 years ago? Can you imagine that that was a brilliant young man whom everyone expected to be prime minister? Look at him now. A grumpy, sodden old fellow with false teeth.
You have false teeth, too.
Yes, but damn it all, they fit. She's ruined him, and she knows she's ruined him.
Why are you saying all this to me?
Am I hurting your feelings?
I think I've had enough for the present.
I'll go and have a look at the goldfish. I want to see Arnold when he comes in. Oh, I'm afraid we've been boring, Mr. Luton.
Not at all.
When are you going back to the FMS?
In about a month.
I see.
I wonder what he has at the back of his head.
Do you think he was talking at you?
He's as clever as a bag full of monkeys.
It seems very difficult to get a few minutes alone with you. I wonder if you've been making it difficult.
I wanted to think.
I've made up my mind to go away tomorrow.
Why?
I want you all together or not at all.
You're so arbitrary.
You said you cared for me.
I do.
Do you mind if we talk it over now?
No.
It makes me feel rather shy and awkward. I've repeated to myself over and over again exactly what I want to say to you, and now all I've prepared seems rather footling.
I'm so afraid I'm going to cry.
I feel it's also tremendously serious, and I think we ought to keep emotion out of it. You're rather emotional, aren't you?
So are you, for the matter of that.
That's why I wanted to have everything I meant to say to you cut and dried. I think it would be awfully unfair if I made love to you and all that sort of thing, and you were carried away. I wrote it all down and thought I'd send it to you as a letter.
Why didn't you?
The letter seems so cold. You see, I love you so awfully.
For goodness sake, don't say that.
No, you mustn't cry. Please don't, or I shall go all to pieces.
I'm sorry. It doesn't mean anything, really. It's only tears running out of my eyes.
Our only chance is to be awfully matter of fact.
What's the matter?
I've got a sort of lump in my throat. It's idiotic. I think I'll have a cigarette. You see, I've never been in love with anyone before. Not really. It's knocked me endways. I don't know how I can live without you now. Does that old fool know I'm in love with you?
I think so.
When he was talking about Lady Kitty smashing up Lord Portia's career, I thought there was something at the back of it.
I think he was trying to persuade me not to smash up yours.
Well, I'm sure that's very considerate of him, but I don't happen to have one to smash. I wish I had. It's the only time in my life I've wished I were a hell of a swell so that I could chuck it all and show you how much more you are to me than anything else in the world.
You're a dear old thing, Teddy.
You see, I'm not at all romantic and that sort of thing. I'm just a common or garden businessman. All this is so dreadfully serious, and I think we ought to be sensible.
You owl.
No, Elizabeth, don't say things like that to me. I want you to consider all the pros and cons, and my heart's thumping against my chest, and you know I love you. I love you. I love you.
Oh, my precious.
No, don't be idiotic, Elizabeth. I'm not going to tell you that I can't live without you and a lot of muck like that. You know that you mean everything in the world to me. Oh, my God.
Do you think there's anything you can say to me that I don't know already?
But I haven't said a single thing. I wanted to. I'm a businessman, and I want to put it all in a business way, if you understand what I mean.
I don't believe you're a very good businessman.
You don't know what you're talking about. I'm a first-class businessman, but somehow this is different. What I want to say is perfectly simple. I'm a very ordinary businessman.
You've said that before.
Shut up. I haven't got a bob besides what I earn. I've got no position. I'm nothing. You're rich and you've got everything that anyone can want. But after all, there's only one thing that really matters in the world, and that's love. I love you. Oh, chuck all this, Elizabeth, and come to me.
Are you cross with me?
Furious.
Darling.
If you don't want me, tell me so at once and let me get out quickly.
Teddy, nothing in the world matters anything to me but you. I'll go wherever you take me. I love you.
Oh, my God.
Does it mean as much to you as that? Oh, Teddy.
Don't be a fool, Elizabeth.
It's you, the fool. You're making me cry.
You're so damned emotional.
Oh, damned emotional yourself. I'm sure you're a rotten businessman.
I don't care what you think. Oh, you've made me so awfully happy. I say, what a lark life's going to be.
Teddy, you are an angel.
Let's get out quick. It's no good wasting time. Elizabeth.
What?
Nothing. I just like to say, Elizabeth.
You fool.
I say, can you shoot?
No.
I'll teach you. You don't know how grand it is to start out from your camp at dawn and travel through the jungle. And you're so tired at night and the sky is all starry.
Isn't it fun being in love with someone who's in love with you?
I say, I think I'd better clear out at once, don't you? Seems rather rotten to stay on in this house.
You can't go tonight. There's no train.
I'll go tomorrow. I'll wait in London till you're ready to join me.
I'm not going to leave a note on the pincushion like Lady Kitty, you know. I'm going to tell Arnold.
Are you? Don't you think there'll be an awful bother?
I must face it. I should hate to be sly and deceitful.
Well, then let's face it together.
No, I'll talk to Arnold by myself.
You won't let anyone influence you?
No. There's the car. Arnold's come back. I must go and bathe my eyes. I don't want them to see I've been crying.
All right. Elizabeth.
What?
Bless you.
Idiot.
Oh, hello, Mother.
Oh, Arnold, I saw you come in. We don't seem to have had 5 minutes by ourselves. I want to make your acquaintance, you know.
I should like you to know that it's not by my wish that my father is here.
Oh, but I'm so interested to see him.
Oh, I was afraid that you and Lord Porteous must find it embarrassing.
Oh, no. Hughie was his greatest friend. They were at Eton and Oxford together. I think your father's improved so much since I saw him last. He wasn't good-looking as a young man, but now he's quite handsome.
Thank you.
Life is really very quaint. Sad, of course, but... oh, so quaint. Often I lie in bed at night and have a good laugh to myself as I think how quaint life is.
Well, I'm afraid I'm a very serious person.
How old are you now, Arnold?
35.
Are you really? Oh, of course, I was a child when I married your father.
Really? You always told me you were 22.
Oh, what nonsense. Well, I was married out of the nursery. I put my hair up for the first time on my wedding day.
Where is Lord Porteous?
Oh, my dear, it sounds too absurd to hear you call him Lord Porteous. Why don't you call him Uncle Hughie?
He doesn't happen to be my uncle.
No, but he's your godfather. You know, I'm sure you'll like him when you know him better. I simply adore Elizabeth. She's too beautiful.
Her hair is very pretty.
It's not touched up, is it?
Oh, no.
Well, I just wondered... it's a rather coincidence that her hair should be the same colour as mine. I suppose it shows that your father and you are attracted by just the same thing. So interesting heredity, isn't it?
Very. Oh, here is my father.
Do I intrude?
No, come in, Clive. Arnold and I have been having such a wonderful heart-to-heart talk.
Very nice.
Father, I've been looking at this chair again. Since Lord Porteous said the legs weren't right, I've been very uneasy.
Oh, you only said that because he was in a bad temper.
His temper seems to be very short these days, Kitty.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you feel he knows what he's talking about. I gave £75 for that chair. I'm very seldom taken in. I always think that if a thing's right, you... well, you feel it.
Well, don't let it disturb your night's rest.
But, my dear father, that's just what it does. I had a most horrible dream about it last night.
Oh, here he is, Hughie.
I'm going to fetch a book I have on old English furniture. There's an illustration of a chair which is almost identical with this one.
Quite a family gathering, by George.
Yeah, I was thinking just now we'd make a very pleasing picture of a typical English home.
I'll be back in 5 minutes. There's something I want to show you, Lord Porteous.
Would you like to play piquet with me, Hughie?
Not particularly.
You were never much of a piquet player, were you?
I did climb. You people don't know what piquet is in England.
Let's have a game, then. You may make money.
Let me tell you, Clyde, I don't like your manner.
I'm sorry for that. I'm afraid I can't offer to change it at my age.
What do you want to be hanging around here for?
A natural attachment to my home.
If you had an attachment, you'd have kept out of the way while we're here.
My dear Hughie, I don't understand your attitude at all. If I'm willing to let bygones be bygones, why should you object?
Damn it all, they're not bygones.
After all, I'm the injured party.
How the devil are you the injured party?
Well, you did run away with my wife, didn't you?
No, don't let's go into ancient history. I can't see why we shouldn't all be friends.
I beg you not to interfere, Kitty.
I'm very fond of Clive.
You never cared two straws for Clive. You only say that to irritate me.
Not at all. I don't see why you shouldn't come and stay with us.
Oh, I'd love to. I think Florence in springtime is delightful. Have you sent for heating?
I never liked you. I don't like you now. And I never shall like you.
How very unfortunate, because I liked you. I like you now, and I shall continue to like you.
There's something very nice about you, Clive.
If you think that, why the devil did you leave him?
Are you going to reproach me because I love you? How utterly, utterly, utterly detestable you are.
No, don't quarrel with one another.
Oh, it's all his fault. I'm the easiest person in the world to live with. But really, he tried the patience of a saint.
Come, don't get upset, Kitty. When two people live together, there must be a certain amount of give and take.
Would you have the very great kindness to mind your own business?
Oh, it is his business. He naturally wants me to be happy.
I have the very greatest affection for Kitty.
Then why the devil didn't you look after her properly?
My dear Hughie, you were my greatest friend. I trusted you. It may have been rash.
It was inexcusable.
I don't know what you mean by that, Hughie.
Don't try to bully me, Kitty.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Then why the devil did you say you didn't?
Well, when I think that I've sacrificed everything for that man, and for 30 years I've had to live in a filthy marble palace with no sanitary conveniences.
Do you mean to say that you haven't got a bathroom?
I've had to wash in a tub.
Oh, my poor Kitty, how you suffer.
Really, Kitty, I'm sick of hearing of the sacrifice you made. I suppose you think I sacrificed nothing. I should have been Prime Minister by now, if it hadn't been for you.
Nonsense.
What do you mean by that? Everyone said I should be Prime Minister. Shouldn't I have been Prime Minister, Clive?
It was certainly the general expectation.
I was the most promising young man of my time. I was bound to get a seat in the cabinet at the next election.
Oh, they'd have found you out just as I found you out. I'm sick of hearing that I ruined your career. You never had a career to ruin, Prime Minister. You haven't the brain. You haven't the character.
Cheek, push, and a gift of the gab will serve very well instead, you know.
Besides, in politics, it's not the men that matter. It's the women at the back of them. I could have made Clive a cabinet minister if I'd wanted to.
Clive?
With my beauty, my charm, my force of character, my wit, I could have done anything.
Clive was nothing but my political secretary. When I was Prime Minister, I might have made him governor of some colony or other. Western Australia, say. Out of pure kindness.
Do you think I would have buried myself in Western Australia with my beauty and my charm?
Or Barbados,
perhaps? Barbados. Barbados can go to Barbados.
That's all you've got.
Nonsense. I'd have had India.
I'd never have given you India.
You would have given me India.
I tell you I wouldn't.
The king would have given me India. The nation would have insisted on my having India. I would have been in vice reign or nothing.
I tell you that as long as the interests of the British Empire... Damn it,
all
my teeth are coming out.
Oh, it's too much. I can't bear it anymore. I put up with him for 30 years, and now I'm at the end of my tether.
Calm yourself,
well,
my
this
dear
is your word. No, I've quite made up my mind. It's finished. When I saw that you didn't marry again, I couldn't help thinking that you still loved me.
I'm one of the few men I know who is able to profit by experience.
Clive, I'm willing to return to you.
My dear Kitty, I couldn't take advantage of your momentary vexation with Hughie to let you take a step which I know you would bitterly regret.
You've waited for me a long time, Clive. For Arnold's sake...
Do you think we really need bother about Arnold? In the last 30 years, he's had time to grow used to the situation.
Explain yourself, Clive.
When you ran away from me, Kitty, I was sore and angry and miserable. But above all, I felt a fool.
Men are so vain.
But I was a student of history, and presently I reflected that I shared my misfortune with very nearly all the greatest men.
I'm a great reader myself. It all struck me as peculiar.
The explanation is very simple. Women dislike intelligence. And when they find it in their husbands, they revenge themselves on them in the only way they can, by making them, well, what you made me.
It's ingenious, Clive. It may be true.
The House of Commons had always bored me excessively, and the scandal of our divorce gave me an opportunity to resign my seat. I've been relieved to find that the country got on perfectly well without me.
But has love never entered your life?
Tell me frankly, Kitty, don't you think people make a lot of unnecessary fuss about love?
Oh, it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
You're incorrigible. Do you really think it was worth sacrificing so much for?
My dear Clive, I don't mind telling you, if I had my time over again, I should be unfaithful to you, but I should not leave you.
For some years, I was notoriously the prey of a secret sorrow.
And since then?
Since then, I have allowed myself the luxury of assisting financially a succession of dear little things in a somewhat humble sphere between the ages of 20 and 25.
I cannot understand the infatuation of men for young girls. I think they're so dull.
It's a matter of taste. I love old wine, old friends, and old books. But I like young women. On their 25th birthday, I give them a diamond ring and tell them they must no longer waste their youth and beauty on an old fogey like me. Then I start all over again.
You're a wicked old man, Clive.
But by George, I'm a happy one.
There's only one course open to me now.
What is that?
To go and dress for dinner.
Capital. I'll follow your example.
Where's Arnold?
He's on the terrace. I'll call him.
Oh, don't bother.
I was just strolling along to my cottage to put on a dinner jacket. Arnold!
Hello? Oh, and Elizabeth, I found an illustration here of a chair which is almost identical with mine. It's dated 1750. Look.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. I can't think why you don't take the pride that I do in this house. After all, it's one of the show places in the county.
I'm afraid you find me very unsatisfactory.
I don't know about that, but my two subjects are politics and decoration. I should be a perfect fool if I didn't see that you don't care two straws about either.
We haven't very much in common, Arnold, have we?
Well, I don't think you can blame me for that.
I don't. I blame you for nothing. I have no fault to find with you.
Good gracious me. What's the meaning of all this?
Well, I don't think there's any object in beating about the bush. I want you to let me go.
Go? Where?
Away. For always.
My dear child, what are you talking about?
I want to be free.
Oh, now, don't be ridiculous, darling. I dare say you're run down. You want to change. I'll run you over to Paris for the weekend if you want me to.
I shouldn't have spoken to you if I hadn't quite made up my mind. We've been married for 3 years, and I don't think it's been a great success.
Well, if you'll allow me to say so, the fault is yours.
I'm quite willing to allow that the fault is mine. How does that make it any better? I'm only 25. If I've made a mistake, I've time to correct it.
I can't bring myself to take you very seriously.
You see, I don't love you.
Oh. Well, I'm awfully sorry, but you weren't obliged to marry me.
I've quite made up my mind to leave you, Arnold.
Oh, come, Elizabeth. You must be sensible. You haven't any reason to leave me.
Why should you wish to keep a woman tied to you who wants to be free?
I happen to be in love with you.
You might have said that before.
I thought you'd take it for granted. You can't expect a man to go on making love to his wife after 3 years. I'm very busy. After all, a man marries to have a home, but also because he doesn't want to be bothered with sex and all that sort of thing. I fell in love with you the first time I saw you, and I've been in love with you ever since.
I'm sorry, but if you're not in love with a man, his love doesn't mean very much to you.
It's so ungrateful. I've done everything in the world for you.
You've been very kind to me. But now you must let me go.
Oh, nonsense. I'm a good deal older than you are, and I think I have a little more sense. In your interest as well as mine, I'm not going to do anything of the sort.
How can you prevent me? You can't keep me under lock and key.
Oh, please don't talk to me as if I were a foolish child. Now, what is it? precisely that you suggest?
Well, I want you to let me divorce you.
Me? Thank you very much. Are you under the impression that I'm going to sacrifice my career for a whim of yours?
How will it do that?
My majority is small enough as it is. Do you think I'd be able to hold it if I were in a divorce case?
It's rather hard on a woman to be divorced.
What do you mean by that? Are you in love with someone?
Yes.
Who?
Teddy Luton.
Teddy? My poor child. Oh, how can you be so ridiculous? He hasn't a bob. He's a perfectly commonplace young man.
I've fallen desperately in love with him, Arnold.
Well, you better fall desperately out.
He wants to marry me.
I dare say he does. He can go to hell.
It's no good taking it like that.
Is he your lover?
Certainly not.
Well, it shows he's a mean skunk to take advantage of my hospitality to make love to you.
It's because I wanted to do nothing shabby that I told you straight out how things were.
How long have you been thinking of this?
I've been in love with Teddy ever since I knew him.
You never thought of me at all, I suppose.
Oh, yes, I did. I was miserable. But I can't help myself. I wish I loved you, but I don't.
I recommend you to think very carefully before you do anything foolish.
I have thought very carefully.
I don't know why I don't give you a sound hiding. I'm not sure that it wouldn't be the best thing to bring you to your senses.
Oh, Arnold, don't take it like that.
Well, how do you expect me to take it? You come to me quite calmly and say, I've had enough of you. We've been married 3 years, and I think I'd like to marry somebody else now. Shall I break up your home? What a bore for you. Do you mind my divorcing you? It'll smash up your career, will it? What a pity. Oh, no, my dear, I may be a fool, but I'm not a damn fool.
Teddy is leaving here by the first train tomorrow. I warn you that I mean to join him as soon as he can make the necessary arrangements.
Where is he?
I don't know. I suppose he's in his room.
George! George!
Yes, sir?
Tell Mr. Luton to come here at once.
Ask Mr. Luton if he wouldn't mind coming here for a moment.
Very good, madam.
What are you going to say to him?
That's my business.
I wouldn't make a scene if I were you.
I am not going to make a scene. Why did you insist on my mother coming here?
It seemed to me rather absurd to take up the attitude that I should be contaminated by her when...
When you were proposing to do exactly the same thing. Well, now you've seen her, what do you think of her, hmm? Do you think it's been a success? Is that the sort of woman a man would like his mother to be?
I've been ashamed. I've been so sorry. It all seemed dreadful and horrible. This morning, I happened to notice a rose in the garden. It looked all overblown and bedraggled. It was like a painted old woman. And I remembered that I'd looked at it a day or two ago. It was lovely then, fresh and blooming and fragrant. It may be hideous now, but that doesn't take away from the beauty it had once. That was real.
Poetry, by God, as if this were the moment for poetry.
Did you want me, Elizabeth?
I sent for you. When will it be convenient for you to leave this house?
I was proposing to go tomorrow morning, but I can very well go at once if you like.
I do like.
Very well. Is there anything else you wish to say to me?
Do you think it was very honorable to come down here and make love to my wife?
No, I don't. I haven't been very happy about it. That's why I wanted to go away.
Upon my word, you're cool.
I'm afraid it's no good saying I'm sorry and that sort of thing. You know what the situation is.
Is it true that you want to marry Elizabeth?
Yes. I should like to marry her as soon as ever I can.
Have you thought of me at all? Has it struck you that you're destroying my home and breaking up my happiness?
I don't see how there could be much happiness for you if Elizabeth doesn't care for you.
Well, let me tell you that I refuse to have my home broken up by a tuppenny halfpenny adventurer who takes advantage of a foolish woman. I refuse to allow myself to be divorced. I can't prevent my wife from going off with you if she's determined to make a damn fool of herself. But this I tell you, nothing will induce me to divorce her.
Arnold, that would be monstrous.
We could force you.
How?
If we went away together openly, you'd have to bring an action.
24 hours after you leave this house, I shall go down to Brighton with a chorus girl. And neither you nor I will be able to get a divorce. We've had enough divorces in our family. And now get out! Get out! Out!
I think if you'll follow my advice to the letter, Arnold, you'll probably work the trick.
I don't like it, you know. It's against all my principles.
My dear Arnold, we all hope that you have before you a distinguished political career. You can't learn too soon that the most useful thing about a principle is that it can always be sacrificed to expedience.
Supposing it doesn't come off?
A woman will always sacrifice herself if you give her the opportunity. It's her favorite form of self-indulgence.
I never know whether you're a humorist or a cynic, Father.
I'm neither, my dear boy. I'm merely a very truthful man. But people are so unused to the truth that they're apt to mistake it for a joke or a sneer.
Seems so unfair that this should happen to me.
Keep your head, my boy, and do what I tell you. Oh, here they are.
Where's Lord Porteous?
He's on the terrace. He's smoking a cigar. Hughie?
Yes? Where's Mrs. Shenstone?
Oh, she had a headache. She's gone to bed.
Arnold and I have just been down to my cottage.
I wondered where you'd gone.
Yeah, I came across an old photograph album this afternoon. I meant to bring it along before dinner, but I forgot, so we went and fetched
it. Oh, do let me see it. I love old photographs. Aren't their clothes funny?
That's Mrs. Langtry.
She has a lovely nose. Oh,
she was the most wonderful thing you ever saw. Dowagers used to jump on chairs in order to get a good look at her when she came into a drawing room.
And who's that?
Oh, Lady Lonsdale. That's Lady Dudley.
This is an actress, isn't it?
It is indeed. Ellen Terry. By George, how I loved that woman.
Dear Ellen Terry.
There's Lady Randolph. Oh,
I think it's too sweet. I love their absurd bustles and those tight sleeves.
What figures they had. In those days, a woman wasn't supposed to be as thin as a rail and as fat as a pancake.
Oh, what a lovely little thing. Who on earth's that?
That?
She looks so fragile, like a piece of exquisite china. All those furs and her face up against her mouth and the snow falling.
Yes, there was quite a rage at that time for being taken in an artificial snowstorm.
What a sweet smile. So roguish and frank and debonair. I wish I looked like that. Do tell me who it is.
Don't you know?
No.
Why, it's Kitty.
Lady Kitty? Oh, my dear, do look. It's too ravishing. Why didn't you tell me you looked like that? Everybody must have been in love with you. My dear, what's the matter? What have I done? I'm so sorry.
Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Stupid of me.
Come out on the terrace, Elizabeth.
Did you do that on purpose?
Kitty. I'm afraid I was very rude to you before dinner, Kitty.
It doesn't matter, Hughie. I'm sure I was very exasperated.
I didn't mean what I said, you know.
No, neither did I.
Of course, I know. I never have been Prime Minister.
How can you talk such nonsense, Hughie? No one would have had a chance if you'd remained in politics.
No, I haven't the character.
You've more character than anyone I've ever met.
Besides, I don't know that I much wanted to be Prime Minister.
Oh, but I should have been so proud of you. Of course you'd have been Prime Minister.
I'd have given you India, you know. I think it'd have been a very popular appointment.
I don't care tuppence about India. I'd have been quite content with Western Australia.
Why, dear, you don't think I'd let you bury yourself in Western Australia?
Or Barbados?
Never. Kept you in London. Hello. Photographs.
No. Don't look.
Oh, don't be silly.
Isn't it hateful to grow old?
You know, you haven't changed much.
Oh, Hughie. Oh, how can you talk such nonsense?
Of course, you're a little more mature, that's all. A woman's all the better for being rather mature.
Do you really think that?
For myself,
I do. You're not just saying it to please me.
No. Oh.
Let me look at the photograph again. Well, the fact is, if your bones are good, age doesn't really matter. You'll always be beautiful.
Silly of you to cry.
It hasn't made my eyelashes run, has it?
Not a bit.
It's very good stuff I have now. They don't stick together either.
Look here, kiddie. How much longer do you want to stay here?
Oh, I'm quite ready to go whenever you want.
Clive gets on my nerves. I don't like the way he keeps hanging about you all.
Hughie, you don't mean to say you're jealous of poor Clive?
Of course I'm not jealous of him. He does look at you in a way that I can't help thinking rather objectionable.
Hughie, you may throw me downstairs like Amy Robsart. You may drag me about the floor by the hair of my head. I don't care. You're jealous. I shall never grow old.
Well, damn it all, the man was your husband.
My dear Hughie, you never had your style. By the moment you come into a room, everyone looks and says, who the devil's that?
What? You think that, do you? That's something what you say. These damn radicals can say what they like, but by God, kiddie, when a man's a gentleman... Well, damn it all, you know what I mean.
I think Clive's degenerated dreadfully since we left him.
What do you say to making a beeline for Italy and going to San Michele?
Oh, Hughie! But it's years since we were there.
Wouldn't you like to see it again? Just once more?
Oh, do you remember the first time we went? It was the most heavenly place I'd ever seen. We only left England a month, but I said I'd like to spend all my life there.
Of course, I remember. And in a fortnight, it was yours, lock, stock, and barrel.
We were very happy there, Hughie.
Let's go back once more.
No, I daren't. It must be all peopled with the ghosts of our past. One should never go again to a place where one's been happy. It would break my heart.
You remember how we used to sit on the terrace of the old castle and look at the sea? We might have been the only people in the world, you and I, Kitty.
And we thought our love would last forever.
Hey, Clive! Is there any chance of bridge this evening?
I don't think we can make up a four.
What a nuisance that boy went away like that. He wasn't a bad player.
Teddy Luton.
It was very funny his going without saying goodbye to anyone.
The young men of the present day are very casual.
I thought there was no train this evening.
There isn't. The last train leaves at 5:45.
Why did you go, Clive?
I have something very grave to say to you. Elizabeth wants to leave Arnold.
Clive? What on earth for?
She's in love with Teddy Luton. That's why he went.
Oh.
The men of my family are really very unfortunate.
My dear. Well, what's to be done?
I think you can do a great deal.
I? What?
Tell her. Tell her what it means.
Oh, no. No.
She's a child, not for Arnold's sake, for her sake. You must.
You don't know what you're asking, Clive.
Yes, I do.
Hughie, what shall I do?
Do what you like. I shall never blame you for anything.
Yes, George? What is it?
I was looking for Mrs. Champion Cheney, sir.
She's not here. Is that a letter?
Yes, sir. It's just been sent up from the Champion Arms.
Leave it. I'll give it to Mrs. Cheney.
Very good, sir.
Is the Champion Arms a local pub?
It's by way of being a hotel, but I never heard of anyone staying there.
Well, if there was no train, I suppose he had to go there.
Great minds. I wonder what he has to write about. Elizabeth?
Yes?
Here's a note for you.
Lovely in the garden tonight.
They just sent this up from the Champion Arms. Oh,
thank you. Oh.
Hughie, I wish you'd fetch me a cloak. I'd like to take a little stroll in the garden, but after 30 years in Italy, I find these English summers rather chilly.
Very well, my dear.
I want to talk to Elizabeth, Clive.
I'll leave you.
What does he say?
Who?
Mr. Luton.
They've told you?
Yes. And now they have. I think I knew it all along.
I don't expect you to have much sympathy for me. Arnold's your son.
So pitifully little.
I'm not suited for this sort of existence. Arnold wants me to take what he calls my place in society. I get so bored with those parties in London.
Are you very much in love with Mr. Luton?
I love him with all my heart.
And he?
He's never cared for anyone but me. He never will.
Will Arnold let you divorce him?
No. He won't hear of it. He refuses even to divorce me.
Why?
He thinks a scandal will revive all the old gossip.
Oh, my poor child.
It can't be helped. I'm quite willing to accept the consequences.
You don't know what it is to have a man tied to you only by his honor. When married people don't get on, they can separate. But if they're not married, it's impossible. It's a tie that only death can sever.
If Teddy stopped caring for me, I shouldn't want him to stay with me for 5 minutes.
One says that when one's sure of a man's love. But when one isn't anymore, oh, it's so different, Elizabeth. In those circumstances, one's got to keep a man's love. It's the only thing one has.
I'm a human being. I can stand on my own feet.
Have you any money of your own?
None.
Well, then how can you stand on your own feet? You think I'm a silly, frivolous woman. But I've learned something in a bitter school. When you come down to bedrock, it's the man who pays the piper who calls the tune. Woman will only be the equal of man when she earns her living in the same way that he does.
I don't want luxury.
You mean that if need be, you could earn your own living?
Yes.
What could you be? Nurse or typist? It's nonsense. Luxury saps a woman's nerve, and when she's known it once, it becomes a necessity.
That depends on the woman.
Oh, when we're young, we think we're different from everyone else. But when we grow a little older, we discover we're all very much of a muchness.
You're very kind to take so much trouble about me.
Breaks my heart to think that you're going to make the same pitiful mistake that I made.
Don't say it was that. Don't.
Look at me, Elizabeth, and look at Hughie. Do you think it's been a success? If I had my time over again, do you think I'd do it again? Do you think he would?
You see, you don't know how much I love Teddy.
Huh? And you think I didn't love Hughie? Do you think he didn't love me?
I'm sure he did.
Oh, of course, in the beginning, it was heavenly. We felt so brave and adventurous, and we were so much in love. Yes, the first 2 years were wonderful. People cut me, you know, but I didn't mind. I thought love was everything. It is a little uncomfortable when you come upon an old friend and go towards her eagerly, so glad to see her, and are met with an icy stare.
Do you think friends like that are worth having?
Well, at first I thought it was rather a relief, because it threw Hughie and me together more. But, you know, men are very funny. Even when they are in love, they're not in love all day long. They want change and recreation.
I'm not inclined to blame them for that, poor dears.
Then we settled in Florence. And because we couldn't get the society we'd been used to, we became used to the society we could get. Loose women, vicious men, snobs who like to patronize people with a handle to their names. And then Hughie began to hanker after his old life. He wanted to go big game shooting. But I didn't let him go. I was afraid he'd never come back.
But you knew he loved you.
My dear, believe me, it's no joke when you have to rely on yourself to keep a man. I could never afford to grow old. My dear, I'll tell you a secret that I've never told to a living soul.
What's that?
My hair is not naturally this color.
Really?
Oh, touch it up. Well, you'd never have guessed, would you?
Never.
Well, nobody does. But, my dear, it's white. Prematurely, of course. But white. However tired I've been, I've had to be brilliant and gay. I've never let you see the aching heart behind my smiling eyes.
You poor dear.
And when I saw he was attracted by someone else, the fear and jealousy that seized me, I didn't dare to make a scene as I should have done if I'd been married. I had to pretend not to notice.
But do you mean to say he fell in love with anyone else?
Well, of course he did eventually.
You must have been very unhappy.
I was. Dreadfully. Night after night, I sobbed my heart out when Hughie told me he was going to play cards at the club, and I knew he was with that odious woman. Of course, It wasn't as if there weren't plenty of men who were anxious to console me.
Of course, I can quite understand that.
But I had my self-respect to think of. Whatever Hughie did, I would do nothing I should regret.
You must be very glad now.
Notwithstanding all my temptations, I have been absolutely faithful to Hughie, in spirit.
I don't think I understand what you mean.
Well, there was an Italian boy who was so desperately in love with me that his mother was afraid he'd go into a consumption. What could I do? Those Italians are so passionate. They had such beautiful eyes.
But I think that's dreadful.
Are you shocked? One sacrifices one's life for love, and then one finds that love doesn't last. The tragedy of love isn't death or separation. One gets over them. The tragedy of love is indifference.
Oh, Elizabeth, can I have a little talk with you?
Of course.
Shall we go for a stroll in the garden?
If you like, Arnold.
No, stay here. I'm going out anyway.
I want you to listen to me for a few moments, Elizabeth. I was so taken aback by what you told me just now that I lost my head. I was rather absurd, and I beg your pardon. I said things that I regret.
Oh, don't blame yourself. I'm sorry that I should have given you occasion to say them.
I want to ask you if you've quite made up your mind to go.
Quite.
Just now, I seem to have said all that I didn't want to say and nothing that I did. I'm stupid and tongue-tied. I never told you how deeply I loved you.
Oh, Arnold.
I've been tactless and neglectful, but I do ask you to believe that it hasn't been because I didn't love you. When I see you at a party so fresh and lovely and everybody wondering at you, I have a sort of little thrill because you're mine, and afterwards I shall take you home.
Oh, Arnold, you're exaggerating.
I can't imagine this house without you. Oh, Elizabeth, don't you love me at all?
It's much better to be honest. No.
But does my unhappiness mean nothing to you?
Of course it does. It breaks my heart. You see, I never knew I meant so much to you. I'm so touched. And I'm so sorry, Arnold, really sorry, but I can't help myself.
Oh, my poor child, it's cruel of me to torture you.
Oh, Arnold, believe me, I have tried to make the best of it. I've tried to love you, but I can't. After all, one either loves or one doesn't. Trying's no help.
So afraid you'll be unhappy. I'm so afraid you'll regret.
I hope you'll forget me and all the unhappiness I've caused you.
Elizabeth?
Yes?
If you love this man and want to go to him, I'll do nothing to prevent you. My only wish is to do what is best for you.
Arnold, that's awfully kind of you. If I'm treating you badly, at least I want you to know that I'm grateful for all your kindness to me.
But there is one favor I should like you to do for me. Will you?
Oh, Arnold, of course. I'll do anything I can.
You've been used to a certain amount of luxury, and I can't bear to think that you should do without anything that you've had.
Oh, but Teddy can earn enough for our needs.
I'm afraid my mother's life hasn't been very easy, but it's obvious that the only thing that's made it possible is that Porteous was rich. I want you to let me make you an allowance of 2,000 a year.
No, I couldn't think of it. It's absurd.
I beg you to accept it. You don't know what a difference it will make.
It's awfully kind of you, Arnold. It humiliates me to speak about it. Nothing would induce me to take a penny from you.
Well, you can't prevent me from opening an account at my bank in your name. The money shall be paid in every quarter, whether you touch it or not. And if you happen to want it, it will be there waiting for you.
You overwhelm me, Arnold. There's only one thing I want you to do for me. I should be very grateful if you would divorce me as soon as you possibly can.
No. I won't do that. But I'll give you cause to divorce me.
You? But Arnold, your seat and your political career.
Well, my father gave up his seat under similar circumstances. He's got along very comfortably without politics.
But they're your whole life.
After all, one can't have it both ways. If you want to do the decent thing, you have to be prepared to suffer for it.
But I don't want you to suffer for it.
First, I rather hesitated at the scandal, but I dare say that was only weakness on my part.
Arnold, you're making me absolutely miserable.
What you said before dinner was quite right. It's nothing for a man, but it makes so much difference to a woman. Naturally, I must think of you first.
That's absurd. It's out of the question. Whatever there's to pay, I must pay it.
It's not very much I'm asking for, Elizabeth.
But I'm taking everything from you.
It's the only condition I make. Now, my mind is absolutely made up. I will never divorce you, but I will enable you to divorce me.
Arnold, it's cruel to be so generous.
Oh, it's not generous at all. It's the only way I have of showing you how deep and passionate and sincere my love is for you. Good night. I have a great deal of work to do before I go to bed.
Good night.
Do you mind if I kiss you?
Oh, Arnold.
You alone, Elizabeth?
That note you asked me about, Lady Kitty, from Teddy.
Yes.
He wanted to have a talk with me before he went away. He's waiting for me at the end of the terrace. Would Lord Porteous mind going and asking him to come here?
Certainly.
Forgive me for troubling you, but it's very important.
No trouble at all.
But Hugh and I'll leave you alone.
Oh, but I don't want to be left alone. I want you to stay.
What are you going to say to him?
Please don't ask me questions. I'm so frightfully unhappy.
Oh, my dear child.
No, isn't life rotten? Why can't one be happy without making other people unhappy?
I brought him. He said he'd be damned if he'd come.
When a lady sent for him? Are these the manners of the young men of today?
When you've been solemnly kicked out of a house once, I think it seems rather pushing to come back again as though nothing had happened.
Teddy, I want you to be serious.
Darling, I had such a rotten dinner at that pub. If you ask me to be serious on the top of that, I shall cry.
Don't be idiotic, Teddy. I'm so utterly wretched.
What is it?
I can't come away with you, Teddy.
Why not?
I don't love you enough.
Fiddle.
Don't say fiddle to me.
I shall say exactly what I like
to you. I won't be bullied.
Now, look here, Elizabeth. You know perfectly well that I'm in love with you, and I know perfectly well that you're in love with me. So what are you talking nonsense for?
I can't say it if you're cross with me.
I'm not cross with you, silly.
Oh, it's harder still when you're being rather an owl.
Am I mistaken in thinking you're not very easy to please? Now, tell me exactly what you want to say. By the way, do you want Lady Kitty and Lord Porteous to be here?
Yes.
Elizabeth asked us to stay.
Oh, I don't mind, bless you. I only thought you might feel rather in the way.
A gentlewoman never feels in the way, Mr. Luton.
Teddy, listen. It wasn't true when I said I didn't love you. Of course I love you. But Arnold loves me too. I didn't know how much.
What has he been saying to you?
He's been very good to me and so kind. I didn't know he could be so kind. He offered to let me divorce him.
That's very decent of him.
But don't you see? It ties my hands. How can I accept such a sacrifice? I should never forgive myself if I profited by his generosity.
You're not in love with Arnold. You're in love with me. It's idiotic to sacrifice your life for a slushy sentiment.
After all, I did marry him.
Well, you made a mistake. Marriage without love is no marriage at all.
I made the mistake. Why should he suffer for it? If anyone has to suffer, it's only right that I should.
What sort of life do you think it would be with him? When two people are married, it's very difficult for one of them to be unhappy without making the other unhappy, too.
I can't take advantage of his generosity.
I dare say he'll get a lot of satisfaction out of it.
Oh, you're being beastly, Teddy. He was simply wonderful. I never knew he had it in him.
You're talking rot, Elizabeth.
I wonder if you'd be capable of acting like that.
Acting like what?
What would you do if I were married to you and came to you and told you I loved somebody else and wanted to leave you?
You have very pretty blue eyes, Elizabeth. I'd black first one and then the other, and after that we'd see.
You damned brute.
Well, I've often thought I wasn't quite a gentleman. Had it never struck you?
You know, you're taking an unfair advantage of me. I feel as if I came to you quite unsuspectingly, and when I wasn't looking, you kicked me on the shins.
Don't you think we'd get on rather well together?
Elizabeth's a fool if she don't stick to her husband. It's bad enough for the man, but for the woman, it's damnable. I hold no brief for Arnold. He plays bridge like a foot. Saving your presence, Kitty, I think he's a prig.
Oh, poor dear, his father was at his age. I dare say he'll grow out of it.
But you stick to him, Elizabeth, stick to him. Man's a gregarious animal. We're members of a herd. If we break the herd's laws, we suffer for it. We suffer damnably.
Elizabeth, my dear child, don't go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I tell you that. And I've sacrificed everything to love.
I'm afraid.
Elizabeth.
I can't face it. It's asking too much of me. Let's say goodbye to one another, Teddy. It's the only thing to do. I'm giving up all my hope of happiness.
But I wasn't offering you happiness. I don't think my sort of love tends to happiness. I'm jealous. I'm not a very easy man to get on with. I'm often out of temper and irritable. I should be fed to the teeth with you sometimes, and so would you be with me. I dare say we'd fight like cat and dog, and sometimes we'd hate each other. Often you'd be wretched and bored stiff and lonely, and often you'd be frightfully homesick, and then you'd regret all you'd lost. Stupid women would be rude to you because we'd run away together, and some of them would cut you. I don't offer you peace and quietness. I offer you unrest and anxiety. I don't offer you happiness. I offer you love.
You hateful creature. I absolutely adore you.
Kiss me.
Of course, the moment he said he'd give her a black eye, I knew it was finished.
Now let's make a boat for it now, Elizabeth.
Shall we?
This minute.
You're damn fools, both of you, damn fools. If you like, you can have my car.
Well, that's awfully kind of you. As a matter of fact, I got it out of the garage. It's just along the drive.
How do you mean you got it out of the garage?
Well, I thought there'd be a lot of bother, and it seemed to me the best thing would be for Elizabeth and me not to stand upon the order of our going, you know. Do it now. An excellent motto for a businessman.
I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless.
Well, hang it all. I couldn't carry Elizabeth all the way to London. She's a damn plump.
You dirty dog.
Well. I like him, Kitty. Don't go pretending I don't like him.
The moon's shining, Elizabeth. We'll drive all through the night.
They better go to San Michele. I'll wire to have it got ready for them.
That's where we went when Hughie and I... You dear things. I envy you.
No, don't cry, Kitty. Confound you, don't cry.
Come, darling.
But I can't go like this.
Nonsense. Lady Kitty will lend you her cloak, won't you?
You're capable of tearing it off my back if I don't.
And we'll buy you a toothbrush in London in the morning.
Oh, she must write a note for Arnold. I'll put it on her pincushion.
Pincushion be blowed. Come, darling. We'll drive through the dawn and through the sunrise.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, you darling.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, Hughie, how it all comes back to me. Will they suffer all we suffered? And have we suffered all in vain?
My dear, I don't know that in life it matters so much what you do as what you are. No one can learn by the experience of another because those circumstances are quite the same. If we made rather a hash of things, perhaps it was because we were rather trivial people. You can do anything in this world if you're prepared to take the consequences. And consequences depend on character.
Well, I think I've settled the hash of that young man.
Oh?
You have to get up very early in the morning to get the better of your humble servant.
What is that?
It sounds like a car. I expect it's your chauffeur taking one of the maids for a joyride.
Whose hash are you talking about?
Mr. Edward Luton's, my dear Hughie. I told Arnold exactly what to do, and he's done it. What makes a prison? Why, bars and bolts. Remove them, and a prisoner won't want to escape. Clever, I flatter myself.
Yeah, you were always that, Clive. But at the moment, you're obscure.
I told Arnold to go to Elizabeth and tell her she could have her freedom.
I told him to sacrifice himself all along the line. I know what women are. The moment every obstacle was removed to her marriage with Teddy Luton, half the allurement was gone.
Arnold did that?
He followed my instructions to the letter. I've just seen him. She's shaken. I'm willing to bet...
Bet?
£500 to a penny that she won't bolt. A downy old bird, eh? Yeah. Downy's the word. Downy.
In The Circle by W. Somerset Maugham, the part of Arnold Champion Cheney was played by Alan Wheatley. George, Peter Tudnam, Anna Shenstone, Dorrit Wells, Elizabeth, Patricia Gallimore, Edward Luton, Brian Hewlett, Clive Champion Cheney, Carlton Hobbs, Lady Kitty, Griselda Harvey, and Lord Porteous, Stephen Murray. The play was produced by Val Gielgud.